town, Chicago is.
The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference is coming to Chicago for its one and only 2019 conference. You can meet and hear Ross Douthat, Matt Harrison, Wesley Smith, Aaron Wolf, Hans Feeney, and Will Whedon Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org.
You may be religious and you may not, but if you are, and you are also queer, and you have come through the other side of a period of wishing that you weren't, then you know that that message, that this idea that there is something wrong with you, is a message that puts you at war, not only with yourself, but with your maker. And speaking only for myself, I can tell you that if me being gay was a choice, it was a choice that was made far, far above my pay grade. And that's the thing I wish the Mike Pences of the world would understand. That if you got a problem with who I am, your problem is not with me. Your quarrel, sir, is with my creator.
That is Democratic presidential hopeful Peter Buttigieg. He is mayor of South Bend, Indiana. He wants to be president of the United States. He's addressing a gay-friendly group. He is a gay man, and he is in a gay marriage. And he's addressing his thoughts about being religious and being gay to Vice President Mike Pence. Why Mike Pence? Why, out of all the people he could have chosen to address rhetorically there, Pence wasn't in the room, did he choose the Vice President of the United States? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Thursday afternoon, the 11th of April. Terry Mattingly joins us to talk about media coverage of presidential hopeful Peter Buttigieg's comments there about sexuality and religion. Then Dr. Robert Kolb will be with us. He has written the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, Nicholas von Amsdorf, champion of Martin Luther's Reformation. We'll talk about that 16th century reformer. Joining us to talk about media coverage of Peter Buttigieg's comments about being gay and being religious, Terry Mattingly, he's senior fellow for media and religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion, and he's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
Is Peter Buttigieg perhaps the new leader of the religious left?
He certainly is in the current news frame. I mean, in the current news moment, he's the man of the moment. I've argued for 25 years that the leader of the religious left is actually Oprah. And when I say that, I'm serious. If you look at her history with major candidates and everything, she is one of the people who has helped the left frame some of its issues in religious language. So when I'm not joking when I say that he's to some degree competing with Oprah. And I would not be at all surprised if you saw Oprah and Mayor Pete together in some sort of setting pretty soon in terms of kind of helping build him up, you know, even more. But he is articulate beyond belief. If he didn't exist, he would need to be made up. I mean, in the sense that he is Rust Belt realistic, Harvard, gay, and an Afghanistan military vet. He's a very interesting combination of factors. And it's one of the most intriguing things has been to watch some people within the LGBTQ world who think he's too conservative and think he specifically is too conservative on sexuality because he's so pro-marriage. And he's made a few comments kind of like, hey, I know Grindr and the dating apps exist, but that's probably not the best way to live your life. So there are actually, so to speak, gays or who are definitely to the moral left of him. So he creates a little bit of tension everywhere. But name somebody that you've seen in this election period of the last month or two who has struck you as having more talent than this guy. I can't think of anybody.
There must be something to it other than simply kind of, as you say, he ticks all the boxes for maybe a Democratic candidate. He has everything they might want except that he's male, maybe. But this is a guy who hasn't even run statewide in Indiana.
Exactly. No, this is real early. He could be running for vice president. He could be running for cabinet. He could be doing a lot of things. But I will say this. I've been watching religion and politics for a very long time, and I have a pretty fine sense for people who are actually talking about their own faith in some way that's real, compared to they've been handed a phrase book and they've attempted to translate into religion speak. This guy is the real deal. He has come from a marginal Catholic background, and he has enthusiastically jumped into the Episcopal Church context with the same kind of enthusiasm that you heard Barack Obama talk about the United Church of Christ on the left before that became controversial because of his pastor in Chicago. In the early stages of his political life, Barack Obama had a very similar articulate nature about talking about religious questions and how he'd come to terms with them. This guy is more relaxed and more at home in Scripture and in his church's chosen liberal liturgical tradition. He is way more at home there than most Republicans that I've been around are at home with either evangelicalism or some other religious tradition. He does believe what he believes. He's not faking anything.
USA Today was one of the first major outlets to pick up on the story of his comments directed rhetorically at Vice President Mike Pence. And you say that that piece comes close to offering an evangelistic tone. What do you mean by that?
I did that because of the way I started that article with an anecdote about the fact that this has probably happened to you. I have been teaching now for several decades in the context of conservative Protestantism, which means I've heard over and over people basically say, journalists hate religion, or journalists hate religious people. And that's really simplistic and dead wrong. The problem isn't that journalists hate religious people. They actually love religious people whose doctrine basically agrees with the editorial page of the New York Times. In other words, there are the whole world of religion coverage. One of the fault lines within it is the tendency of the press to automatically show you in their coverage who they think the good religious people are and the bad religious people are. And I mean, for example, Pope Francis, they're having a lot of trouble avoiding a lot of what Pope Francis actually says because Pope Francis is still one of the good guys, and he's a good religious person. They never knew what the heck to do with Mother Teresa, you know, or someone like that. But so my point is that Pete Buttigieg is clearly a good religious person. He's a religious person who believes the right things. So when you read these USA Today pieces, you immediately note that there is no one coming in to broaden the religious claims of Mike Pence. I mean, Buttigieg is choosing to argue with Mike Pence, A, because of the shared background in Indiana, but the main reason he's doing it is that Pence is chained to Donald Trump. And within the world of evangelicalism, there are a lot of people with finely tuned senses of morality who are offended by Donald Trump. I mean, they know what the life that this man has lived. So this old, the lesser of two evils specter that hangs over trying to make peace with Donald Trump, either voting for Donald Trump, either supporting Donald Trump, or either putting up with Donald Trump. There are a lot of moral questions that come with that. And poor Mike Pence. I mean, isn't Mike Pence just like the anti-Donald Trump? When you look at his personal life and you look at the life he's lived. So by shooting at Pence, you're constantly reminding your listeners of evangelical discomfort with Donald Trump. That's my take on what's going on there. But, I mean, why isn't Buttigieg getting up and saying, well, the Pope Francis of this world, if they have trouble with my sexuality, their problem is not with me, but with their maker. Why is he attacking Pope Francis? Why is he attacking anybody in world Anglicanism? Why isn't he attacking Cardinal Sarah of Africa? Why isn't he? Because these people whose beliefs on sexuality are basically the same, unless Pope Francis is secretly not doesn't believe in the Catholic Catechism anymore, and I don't believe that to be true. Why isn't he attacking mainstream Catholic, Anglican, Orthodox Christianity? Why is he attacking Mike Pence? Well, I think the question answers itself, doesn't it?
I'm curious. This is calls for pure speculation on your part, but I think you're probably qualified to speculate with some credibility here. If it were Mike Pence who had made that argument against a political opponent, you know, if you have a problem with who I am, take it up with my creator, how would the media be covering it?
Well, a lot would depend on what the issue was. If Mike Pence had said, if you have trouble with my stance on abortion, your problem isn't with me, the problem is with the God of Scripture, they would have immediately produced a large number of Christians of various denominations who disagree with Pence on abortion, and would even say they disagree with the Roman Catholic Church on abortion. Or they would say, they would go to the, they play the Mario Cuomo card. They would say, I'm personally opposed to abortion, but the Mike Pences of this world want to jam it through law, want to force it on us by law. They would have come up with a host of other people of religious perspectives who would have debated with that proposition. And hear me say this, that would have been a valid journalistic approach. The question here is why U.S. Today isn't talking to a variety of interesting conservative Christian voices that would even say, well, you know, I have a lot of trouble with Mike Pence right now, but in terms of his views on marriage and sexuality, all he's saying is basic Christianity. Who would have been willing to give you that quote? Half the world of Never Trump. David French would have given you that quote. Ben Sasse of Nebraska in the U.S. Senate would have given you that quote. Russell Moore of the Southern Baptist Convention would have given you, right? There are a lot of people with a lot of problems with the world of Pence and Trump who still could have been quoted in these USA Today stories saying, I think Buttigieg is a very interesting guy. I think he's a healthy, he's raising some healthy issues, but gosh, on sexuality, he's arguing with the Bible, the Catholic Church, and 90% of the Christians in the world. Who does he think he is? But do you see that in any of the mainstream coverage of Buttigieg at this point?
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of Democratic presidential hopeful Peter Buttigieg's comments about homosexuality and religion. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the USA Today piece and why it doesn't simply find someone who says, look, let's just not argue against history. Maybe that's a good way of putting it. Stay tuned.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you appreciate Issues Etc., talk radio for the thinking Christian, and Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the world, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're talking media coverage of Democratic presidential hopeful Peter Buttigieg's comments about homosexuality and religion. Terry Mattingly is our guest, senior fellow for media and religion at the King's College in New York City and author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate. Terry, the people who were interviewed in the USA Today story on Buttigieg's comments, people who were actually there in the audience, I believe both of them were atheists. Why is that? Now, it's good that they were interviewed, but there could have been a little balance on the other side. But why is that significant to you?
Well, I'm not sure that the journalists thought they were significant other than that it was novel and that those people were there. But you and I have discussed in the past the fact that the Pew Forum studies of America, one of the most interesting stories is that the largest identifiable group within the Democratic Party these days is atheist, agnostic, and religiously unaffiliated. Well, if you could build a bridge of trust between atheists, agnostics, religiously unaffiliated, the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, the famous nuns group, and the world of liberal Protestantism, liberal Judaism, and kind of seeker-friendly, do-it-yourself shopping mall religion, if you could get somebody who united those wings and pleased the secularists, yet also pleased X number of religious believers, whether they're liberal Catholics or whatever else, that would be a very significant political coalition in the modern Democratic Party. A lot of people have said that one of the biggest problems they're going to have is trying to find a candidate who would have the ability of a Barack Obama or going back in time to a Bill Clinton, someone who could be a real honest-to-goodness, fire-breathing liberal, you know, in our world, yet at the same time feel at home talking about religious faith. So just think about that. What if you could create a religious left that included non-religious people? Where it's kind of a left that was friendly to religion, yet wasn't saying anything that offended atheists and agnostics. That would be quite profound.
I'm intrigued by this because I was, even as you spoke the words, I was going back in my memory trying to think of national level candidates in either party who could swim very easily in the waters of any religious tradition. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have very awkward people like Hillary Clinton, who's the opposite of her husband. She gets in there and she tries to sound like a black preacher, and it comes across as anything but authentic. I can't think of a Republican national candidate that really was comfortable in that.
Oh. George W. Bush actually was. He just wasn't a very good public speaker. When you got him in small groups or sitting around a table, he could talk very convincingly. You know, you've heard the old saying that George W. Bush was elected president because the Al Gore campaign made the mistake of allowing two of the three debates to be in face-to-face small group settings. And if you aim Bush, gosh, Bush was as bad a public speaker as like Lyndon Baines Johnson. You aim him at a TV camera 15 yards away and tell him to talk to America, and he turned into a cold fish. But you put George W. Bush in a position where he could grab your elbow, look you in the face, and talk, he'd tell you his testimony all day long. He taught golf, painting, baseball. He was a completely different man face to face. To me, the contrast is between George W. Bush and George Herbert Walker Bush. Now, apparently, as we know from the funeral, there was a lot of very deep faith in the life of George Herbert Walker Bush, but he could not talk about it if his life depended on it. He was from that other generation. Whereas Bill Clinton, at the height of the Bill Clinton controversies, you could have sent Bill Clinton to the Southern Baptist Convention to speak to the convention, and they would have booed him a bit when they walked in, but he would have been as comfortable as if he was at a barbecue. I mean, in terms of just getting up there and talking, and he would have handled it. Because that, whatever you think of Bill Clinton and whatever you think of Bill Clinton's religious beliefs or whatever, he just had the knack. He had the language. He could do it. And that's what I'm saying. Within the world of a certain type of Episcopal faith, intelligent faith, Harvard faith, Buttigieg has got the ability to just stand up and talk. And there's not a lot of religious people like that in American politics, as you just said.
So why is it that the press coverage of this has either been kind of purely political, Buttigieg v. Pence, that kind of framing, or has been lopsided without getting any response from, say, a prominent clergyman who happens to hold views similar to Mike Pence, a Pence proxy?
Well, I mean, one of the things, just think about this answer to your question that you just asked. How many of these reporters understand all the different differentiations within conservative Christianity? How many of them would know the differences between charismatics, fundamentalists, reformed Christians, Lutherans, conservative Anglicans, black conservatives? I mean, there's a lot of different kinds of conservatism. Right now, there's only one kind of conservatism on the field, in the field of religion, and that's, gosh, the 81% of white evangelicals sure love Trump. That's the only story right now. That's all they know. And so that's why when you shoot at Pence, you get all kinds of people over on the liberal side saying all kinds of interesting things. It's going to be interesting. I've taken a first read through. I haven't read it twice. There's a new piece at the New York Times out about Buttigieg that, quite frankly, gets way off deeper into the evangelical world and how they have reacted to Trump and whatever. And I'm not ready to say it does a great job yet. I haven't read it that carefully. But let's put it this way. They tried. They went over there, and it's more complex than the kind of cheerleading that we saw in the USA Today piece.
What do the, I don't know if I'm going to use the term fine line that has to be walked here. Maybe it's actually just a very broad road because we're really dealing with kind of a cultural Christianity on the left. What do they need to project going into 2020? And then, of course, the media will help them amplify this projection to counter a Donald Trump who is handed a book that says religious things on it and tries to fit the words in, but is quite obviously not comfortable with it.
Well, I don't want to talk about Trump anymore. You know me. I don't like talking about Donald Trump because I don't understand a lot of what's going on there. Let me tell you, though, what I really think will be the key issue here. The book that has influenced me more than any other book in American political life in the last 25 to 30 years is the sociologist James Davison Hunter's classic book called Culture Wars, The Struggle to Define America. And the key thought in Hunter's book is that American religion is now divided between people who believe that there is such a thing as a permanent, eternal, transcendent truth versus people who believe that religious truth is primarily about your own life and your own experiences and what you have found to be true based on your own feelings, emotions, thoughts. It's experiential truth versus revealed truth. Those are the big theological words. This is going to be all about that. Although, once again, what do you do with Trump? Like, Trump has revealed eternal truths that he's basing his life on? I don't think so. But that's just me. But Buttigieg is going to be a perfect, winsome living example of, I believe the following things because this is the life I've lived. This is what I have experienced. This is how I have seen God work in my life. And that trumps all that old stuff from the first and second centuries and all that eternal stuff. This is the truth I have lived. Hunter calls the old school the camp of the Orthodox. Transcendent, revealed, eternal, even creedal truth. The camp of the Orthodox. The other one, the camp of emotion, story, personal experience. That is called the camp of the progressives. And this is why I would say Oprah has been the queen of the world of experiential, emotional, storytelling faith. Isn't that what she does? And this is what Buttigieg is going to be able to do. He's going to be able to stand up there and say, here's my story. Here's why I believe what I believe. And in a nation as radically individualistic as America, and in a nation that is feelings-based and image-based as opposed to kind of creedal, logical, linear, doctrinal. Is doctrinal a good word in modern America? No. It takes a special talent to stand up and talk about an eternal truth, an eternal faith, and a belief that what the early church believed, we still believe that today. That's a very old-fashioned, rock-ribbed kind of religion that doesn't fit very well in shopping mall, streaming video, Oprah America. And Buttigieg is going to be able to articulate the progressive vision of faith. He's going to tell his own story. And a lot of people are going to like it because that's the country we live in.
We're talking about media coverage of Democratic presidential hopeful Peter Buttigieg, his comments on homosexuality and religion with Terry Mattingly, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate. When we come back, I'm seeing lots of headlines, lots of commentary since Buttigieg's comments that the Democrats need to make up their mind on whether or not religion is an asset or an enemy. We'll be right back.
I'm going to talk about two big trends in American life over the last 50 or 60 years, the decline of institutional Christianity and the growing polarization of our politics.
Ross Douthat of the New York Times talking about his presentation at the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
The increasingly strident division between an ideological left and an ideological right. And I'm going to argue that Christianity has weakened precisely because people have become more likely to identify with ideologies than with religious beliefs, and that a recovered Christianity, a more robust public religious faith, is actually an answer to polarization because it gives people an identity that's bigger than partisanship, so they can define themselves as Christians first and liberals or conservatives second.
You can meet and hear Ross Douthat at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, June 7th and 8th in Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
Smartest listeners in radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
We're discussing media coverage of Democratic presidential hopeful Peter Buttigieg's comments about homosexuality and religion with Terry Mattingly of Get Religion. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Thanks to Lester in Hayward, California, Randall in Pfisterville, Pennsylvania, and Thomas in Malonia, Wisconsin, for registering for the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in the last 24 hours. One and only 2019 Making the Case Conference is Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th in Chicago. Attendance is limited to 500, and we're more than 65% full. Registration is $125. That includes three meals. Child care is free thanks to Lutheran Church Extension Fund's sponsorship. Learn more at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. Making the Case is June 7th and 8th at Concordia University in Chicago. Terry, Emma Green, who writes about religion for The Atlantic, is being quoted all over the place. And mm-hmm. the line that is most often getting quoted from her piece is, "Democrats must choose whether religion is a potential asset or something to be overcome." What is she saying, and why is this idea that she's putting forth in the wake of Buttigieg's comments and the press coverage thereof, why is it catching fire like this?
Well, this is what I was just talking about. The largest identifiable group within the Democratic Party, it has been largely hostile to religion, but it's hostile to traditional forms of religion, mainly on issues of sexuality. That's all in the Pew Forum studies that we've all been looking at now for 6, 7, 8 years. So when I said that what you have in someone like Buttigieg is I hate to create a phrase like this, but to some degree he has the potential to be the gay Obama, in the sense that he has the ability to keep certain sides of the left happy, yet he can stand up and talk about his faith and not sound like he is can't walk and chew gum at the same time. He actually believes this stuff. He is the real deal. So what she is saying is the Democrats thought they had to make a choice between this fire-breathing secularism that might... Well, how do you think the fire-breathing secularism sounds to the black church or Latino Catholics? They've been worried about this for a long time. Yet, how often do you find someone who genuinely can make the left side of his party or her party happy while simultaneously being a sincere religious believer? Do you see how important that kind of a crossover figure could be? That's what this is about.
So these lights burn brightly quickly, and it is quite true that he is getting a kind of a disproportionate amount of attention from the media because of statements like this. It's a huge field for 2020 and getting bigger almost by the week. Is this just a flash in the pan, the media's favorite for the next few weeks?
I have no way to know. A lot will depend on by factors that are hard to predict. How good is he when he goes on The Tonight Show? How good is he in the world of entertainment? I predict, as articulate as he is, I think he'll do very, very well, you know, in that context. The question is whether the intense, angry secularists will put up with a religious believer. But if it's going to be anybody, it's going to be this guy. I mean, he's already been on Bill Maher on HBO and kind of read him the riot act on being opposed to religion. But like I said, there is around the far cultural left, there is this kind of disquiet that basically says, are we ready for a gay conservative? Is someone really going to tell me to take the apps off my phone where I can hook up with anybody I want and tell me I should get married and settle down? Getting married and settling down, when a gay man says it, is offensive to the religious right, but it's also offensive to the lifestyle left in some corners. We're going to have to watch the coverage unfold because this guy's the real deal.
If you had 15 minutes of Pete Buttigieg's time sitting across from him with a pen and a pad of paper in your hand, what questions would you be asking him right now?
Well, he's an Episcopalian. You can't ask him questions about the ancient church and stuff now. I guess I would ask if he believes that the vast majority of the world's Christians – in Catholicism, Orthodoxy, etc., what would he have to say to them about 2,000 years of Christian doctrine? What does he think of Christianity that's considerably deeper than the press's presentation of Mike Pence? What does he think of Francis? What does he think of the Roman Catholic Catechism? What does he think of conservative Anglicans in Africa and other parts of the world? I guess I would attempt to fill in the other half of the USA Today stories, and I would ask him how he would relate to Christians with considerably more depth than the media presentation of Pence and Trump. I think that's what I would try to do.
Finally, then, is there a point when many in the media might start thinking that Peter Buttigieg is too religious?
I have no idea. My experience is that there are way more reporters who like liberal religion than there are reporters who hate religion altogether. I've not met that many journalists in my day who I could honestly say hated religion. I have met lots and lots and lots of reporters who I could honestly say hated traditional forms of religion. So you give them a chance to go after or to cover a sincere, articulate religious liberal, it could be Barack Obama all over again.
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion, and he's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, thanks.
Glad to be here.
On the other side of the break, Dr. Robert Kolb joins us. There was a personal friend to 16th century reformer Martin Luther, but more than simply a friend and an acquaintance, a fellow reformer. He outlived Luther by a long shot and went on to actually fight some of the battles that had Luther lived, he would have been fighting as well. His name is Nicholas von Amsdorf, and we'll spend the rest of today's Issues, Etc. talking about him with Dr. Robert Kolb. Stay tuned.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Greetings in Christ, and thank you for listening to Issues, Etc. If you ever find yourself visiting the Smoky Mountains in East Tennessee, please join us here at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Sevierville. We see it as a small part of our service to the church to provide sound liturgical worship opportunities for vacationing Lutherans to our area. For worship times and directions, please visit our website at splctn.com. That's splctn.com.
Are you a high school guy or girl interested in theology and thinking about becoming a pastor or deaconess? Christ Academy High School at Concordia Theological Seminary is the thing for you. Spend 2 weeks worshiping and learning like a seminary student while having fun and building lasting friendships. Join us this summer at Christ Academy from June 16th to the 29th. Visit ctsfw.edu/ca for more info.